Who do I want to spend my time with? This is Dr. Herbert L. Varley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campbell, California, with a thought for today. Who do I want to spend my time with? We think, well, now, what person does that mean? What person does that mean that I want to spend my time with, that I'm interested in spending my time with? What does that mean? Do I want to spend my time with a dog? Do I spend my time with my wife or my husband? With my friends? Who do I want to spend my time with? That's a good question. Now, we only have 24 hours in the day. And so therefore, whatever time we spend on those 24 hours of the day are spent with the most important person in the world. And of course, that's with ourselves. We're spending the time with ourselves. Now, do you spend the time with yourself? Or do you spend the time with others? There's a little schnitt going on this morning, and it was about hugging one another. And some people just wanted to show that they would hug somebody last and hug everybody else first. And in doing that, they were saying, I didn't want to spend time with that person. They were going to spend time with the person anyhow, sooner or later, but they didn't want to spend time with that person. Now, what happens when you avoid somebody, or when you ignore somebody, or when you are not paying attention to being generally with everybody and being selective of not spending time? You are spending all of your time with the very person that you don't want to spend your time with, because that's what you're spending your time on, your thought. Now, a mother who spends her time on her son who is in service, worrying about him, is creating problems for the son. It's creating the son having all sorts of difficulties, because the mother is worried about the son. The mother is worried about what's becoming of him, what's going on in this world. Is he okay? Is everything all right? Do they treat him good? And because the mother worries, she creates in his world those experiences if he is close to her. Well, apparently he's close to her, because that's why she worries so much about him. They're one. With whom do I want to spend my time? That's a good question we have to ask ourselves. You say, in meditation, I want to spend my time with myself. I want to listen to the divine within. And so you're going off on your meditation, and you're thinking of all of the sour apples in your world that make you unhappy. You're thinking of people who are not pleasant to you. You're thinking of a broken down golf cart. You're thinking of Brian, who doesn't come when he's supposed to come, and then he comes when he's not supposed to come. And why? Why? Let's just look at Brian for a minute. Brian's a good guy. But why does Brian come when you don't want him to come? And why doesn't he come when you want him to come? Because you have him in your consciousness. You have him in your consciousness as coming or not coming. Well, Brian is coming early now, and he's coming right at the time that we're having our meditation, we're doing something, and you think, well, gee, that's not what we want to do. Well, it is what you want to do, because that's what you create. Now, we are in a school, and the school teaches, it's done unto us according to our thought. Now, you might say it's the school of Jesus. It's done unto us according to our thought. Or you might say it's the school of the psychologist. It's done unto us according to our thought. You might say it's the school of a philosopher. It's done unto us according to our thought. But in any event, it is a universal phrase. It is done unto us according to our thought. Now, why is it that Brian comes at times when we don't want him or do want him? Why is it that Brian comes at times that are not necessarily pleasant, because we're in the middle of something? Why? Because we create him. We worry that Brian will come right while we're in the middle of our lecture, right while we're in the middle of our talk. We shouldn't do that. We should say, Brian comes at exactly 9 o'clock when we have finished our program and everything is ready for the day. In fact, you might even tell Brian, come at 9 o'clock. You might say, Brian, we would like you to start your handyman work for us at 9 o'clock, because that way we have all of our morning activities out of the way and we're ready to give you time, ready to give our attention to you. But no, we don't do that. We just say, oh, I'm so happy that he comes. I'm so happy that this is going to take place. And I don't want to, you know, I want him to be here, but I wish he weren't at 8 o'clock. I wish he'd come at 9. I wish these things, you know, and you don't really wish it. You're afraid he's going to come at 8. You're afraid. Now, what would be the simplest solution? The simplest solution would mentally to see Brian coming to work every day, whenever he does come to work, at 9. Now, you say, I know a simpler solution. Just tell Brian that he begins his work on campus at 9 on any day that he comes here. And you say, well, gee, maybe he wants to work earlier because of this, or maybe he wants, hey, who is Brian? He's our employee, isn't he? He's an independent contractor, but he's our employee. He comes when we want him to come. He comes when we want him to come, not any time that pleases him. He comes when we want him to come. And we tell him what the hours are. We say, you can work from 9 until sunset, you know, or as long as you want to work. It doesn't matter, but you start at 9. Have we ever told him that? No. And have we always been concerned? Oh dear, have we got the slip made out? Have we got the information made out for him as to what he's going to do and stuff like that? We're always worried about stuff like that. Now, why do we worry about things like that? Do we know what days he's going to come, Ellen?
Yeah.
How do we know what days he's going to come?
Because we created.
Well, that too. We know what days he's going
because
to come because
we
have determined it and we've told him.
Yeah.
All right, now, do we prepare the list before he gets here each day as to what he's going to do?
Yes.
Or do we prepare it at the breakfast table?
We prepare it in the evening before.
And do we type it up?
Yes.
Okay. So then, is there any conflict?
No.
At the top of the list, it would say, begin work each day at 9.
Uh-huh.
And then it'd be in writing and be definite. Now, is that what you'd like it to be, to begin work each day at 9? If that's what you'd like it to be, then set it down. Now, is Brian going to come at work before 9 when he's supposed to be here at 9? Why won't he come before 9?
Because we create him to come at 9.
Because we will not pay him if he comes here before 9. We only pay him when he comes at 9. And we don't create him coming before 9. You see, we have so many wonderful things where we are in charge. And when we are in charge and take charge, wonderful things happen. Then this is what we want to do. Now, when we don't take charge, then we get all shook up and all bent out of space. Now, we want to be in charge. And we want to be in charge of every circumstance we have. And if we feel sorry for ourselves that things are not working out the way we want to, then we ought to sit down and talk about it. We ought to counsel about it. Every one of you has a chance to come and talk to me about any problem you have. And some of you say, well, I'm afraid to talk to her. And, well, I would hope to kiss a pig. I would hope that you'd be afraid to talk to me. I hope that you'd be afraid to talk to me about something that you weren't going to follow through on. If you come and talk to me and we talk about ideas and you don't follow through on them, then of course you should be afraid to come to me, because I haven't got time for people who don't follow through on what they decide to do. If you decided that you're going to do something, I expect you to do it. I don't expect you not to do it. Now, Ingeborg, are you the most happy lady in the world?
Yes.
I didn't hear that.
Yes, I am.
Thank you. Ingeborg, are you the most brilliant lady in the world?
Yes.
Ingeborg, does everyone love you to pieces?
Yes.
Ingeborg, does everyone want to kiss you first in the morning?
Yes.
That was a little slow. Now, why was that a little slow? By the appearances? By the illusion? Don't empower illusions. Now, does anyone not want to kiss you? Do people enjoy kissing you generally?
I think yes.
Well, just say yes, because you believe yes. Now, why would anyone not want to kiss you? Because you created them not kissing you. You created them not kissing you. Now, anytime someone doesn't do something for us, it's because we created them doing that. Now, are you a worthwhile person?
Yes.
Are you a loving person?
Yes.
Are you a caring person?
Also.
Are you a person everybody loves to kiss?
Yes.
That's still a little slow. You want to be instantaneous on this stuff, because it is a game. And we're playing this game by playing it. Ellen, does everybody like to kiss you?
Oh, yes.
Do you like to kiss everybody?
Everybody.
And when you kiss them, do you have long, drawn-out sexual kisses?
No.
You don't?
No.
Why do some people do that? Because they're sick. If you're going to have a long, drawn-out sexual kiss, have it in private. You know, we've had some of our activities here where some people just love to kiss other people, you know, like John loved to kiss Anita, you know, and John loved to kiss Irene, and Irene loved to kiss everybody too. Okay, now, that's great, but my point is, there's a time and place for these things. When we have our own, we give a lovely kiss, but just a smackaroo, right on the kisser, and then you're done. It's not a deep, affectionate kiss that says, oh, with you in my life, everything's worthwhile. So, how do you kiss?
Oh, with love.
With love. Well,
with love, with real love.
That's great. And how are you kissed? How do other people kiss you?
I feel the same.
The same?
Yes.
Well, you think the same. Now, why do you think the same? Because you are the creator of your world. And you create people kissing you like you kiss them, right?
Yes.
Right. Now, is that bad?
No, it's good.
No, it's good. Now, you see, Ingeborg, that's instantaneous response. You see, when you really like yourself, you come out and you say, yes, no, you know, you there's no doubt about it. Now, Sylvia, do you like to kiss in the morning?
Yes.
You like to kiss everybody?
Yes.
You like to kiss each person in rotation?
Yes.
Without skipping around?
Yes.
Okay, then remember that. But kiss everybody with an equal joy and enthusiasm. Because sometimes I notice, and I'm aware of all of you, you give a quick kiss and then on to the next person. And then if the next person happens to be somebody who's really special and nice, then you give a longer kiss, you know. But always give equal kisses, because you have created everybody in your world equal. Everybody is your peer. And some people, well, Ingeborg, she used to kiss years ago very wet. When you got done with a kiss from Ingeborg, you thought you had a kiss from a puppy. You know, a schmush, schmush, schmutzy kiss. You know, not schmutzig, but schmutzy. And so you always carried a towel with you when you had the kiss from Ingeborg. But then later, Ingeborg figured out that giving a kiss was a dry affair. And so she would dry her lips instead of moisten her lips, you know. She wasn't giving one of these French kisses, you know. So these are things we learn. Who do I want to spend my time with? I want to spend my time with myself. I want to spend my time with my perfect self. I don't want to spend my time with my sick self, where I'm lying in bed and having problems. I want to spend my time with my perfect self. And how do we spend our time with our perfect self? By creating our perfect self. We are who we think we are. Now, If you think that the world is passing you by and you're not having any fun, then that's your problem. If you think that you are the master of your world and that everything is going along in perfect divine order, then that's what you're experiencing. It's totally up to us what it is. Now, who do I want to spend my time with? I love to be in meditation. I love to spend my time with myself. I love to think about things that make me happy, that delight me. I love to think about all of our equipment and it works perfect. I like to think about all of our people here and they're just loving one with the other. But you see, we talked about that in our seminar yesterday. I do not create all of you to be clones to do exactly what I want you to do. I create you being master of yourself and wanting to do what is highest and best for you to do. Because if you don't do what is highest and best for you, the minute you leave here, you're going to be your old person. And that old person was the person you didn't like before you came here. And that's why you came here, because you wanted to put on a new expression of yourself. You wanted to put on a new outpicturing of yourself. And if that's not why you came here, then why did you come here? Did you come here because you are the very best and you want to show everybody that you're the very, very best? Well, that's interesting too. But that can get you in a lot of trouble. And it doesn't necessarily get you where you want to go. So be very careful. Have more humility than you know what to do with. You see, when a child makes a mistake and the parent says, you go over and apologize. You go over and apologize to the neighbor for taking something that didn't belong to you. That takes a lot of humility. It takes a lot of humility to walk right over to the neighbor and say, I took this and I'm sorry. It's not mine to take. And here it is. And they say, well, I know your dad told you to do this. I know your mom told you to do it. Yes, my dad told me to do it, but I've been worrying about doing it myself all along. And my dad just encouraged me to make the final step, to have enough humility to do it. And I'm doing it, and I appreciate the fact that you forgive me, so to speak, that you understand me more is what it really means, that you understand that I did a stupid thing, and I know I did a stupid thing, and I do not choose to do a stupid thing again. You see, that's very important. Now, how many parents teach their children to do that? How many parents? They say, you shouldn't steal. You shouldn't do this. You shouldn't do that. And when they find that they have stolen, do they make them take it back? Do they say, now, what do you think you should do with what you stole? You think you should keep it? That should burn your hands when you hold something that's stolen. You know, it should make you feel very guilty, very unhappy when you have something that doesn't belong to you. Anytime you take something that doesn't belong to you, you should just feel ugly. You should just feel terrible that you've done something so terrible like that. But Mom, I only took. You took. That's the point. Now, what do you think you should do? I don't know. I'll throw it away. I'll burn it up. I'll bury it. No, I think there's a better way. Yeah. Take it back and apologize. But Mom, what do you think you should do? Do you think that burying it is going to make it go away? You'll always know you stole it. Do you think that giving it away to somebody else is going to make it better? You'll always know you stole it. Stealing something and not immediately turning it back is like stealing a pillow and the pillow, a head coffin. Stealing a pillow, and as you walk home with it, it has a hole in it, and all the feathers are falling out, and you can never return it, because you don't have it all when you get home. And when you get home, what are you going to do with them? Well, look at, you ripped it, and all the feathers are out now. What are you going to do about that? Oh, I'll buy them a new one? No. You take that down to the pillow store and you haven't put more feathers in there and sew it up, and you take that back. But it'd be much nicer to have a new one. A new one costs $29, and to have that fixed costs $4. Now, what do you want to do? You know, now, that's just one way of talking to kids, but the thing is, that's not the right way either. You return what you took. Ellen, what is item 13? Ellen, you've memorized it.
Waste basket.
Yes, item 13 is a waste basket. But
if
item,
I take it away, I replace it.
If I take it away, I replace it.
Well, it's just you don't have assets.
Esther? Yeah. How long have you been here? How many days?
7 days.
7 days. Have you memorized the 13 points? You have them up in the retreat. Esther?
Yeah,
Esther? Esther? Hush? Esther?
Yes.
Esther?
Yes.
Hush! Sylvia, how long have you been here? Bitte? 30 years?
Yes.
And have you memorized them?
No.
Ellen, how long have you been here?
19 years.
19?
Mm-hmm.
Is that all? And have you memorized them?
No.
Ingeborg, how long have you been here?
I think 18.
And have you memorized them?
Some.
Yeah. Some. Okay, now. Esther, do you know why I was telling you to hush? Do you know why?
No.
I was telling you to hush. You've been here 7 days and haven't learned them. They were here 30 years and haven't learned them. You follow me now?
Sure, yes.
Yeah, sure, yes, yes. But that's why when I say hush, let stop talking and you'll be happy you did. But the point is, who do I want to spend time with? Do you want to spend time with yourself? And do you want to spend time with the self that learns the rules? Esther, you're going to drive a car. And when you drive the car, you have to know the rules of the road. And if you don't know the rules of the road, they will give you tickets. They will say, you got a ticket for speeding. You got a ticket for turning the wrong direction. You got a ticket for this. Okay. Now, here at the monastery, we have 13 rules. Simple rules that could be followed in any home, any office, anywhere on earth. And are followed, that is, hopefully. And we've asked our staff members and our various people who come and stay here and who live here for many years to memorize them. And they don't. They don't memorize them. They don't even know what they're supposed to do. When you open it, you do what?
To close.
Oh, you know that one.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. If you take it?
I put take back.
You return it.
I return them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You see, you know some of them already. And what are some of the other ones?
If you break it, repair it, or ask somebody to help you.
Does that make sense?
Sure, yes.
What's another one?
Another one is if it's none of your business, don't bother with it or something.
I don't know that we have that. We should put that on there, though.
But, something like that.
Yeah. But the thing is, you see, these are all very simple, and they do not offend anybody.
If it doesn't concern me, I mind my own business.
Right. If it doesn't concern you, I mind my own business. You see, there are so many wonderful things about that. To make your life run smoother and richer, if you just follow those simple rules. And it's a shame that everyone hasn't memorized them. We give people the rules of the house the minute they come here. Everybody, did you get a copy of the rules when you came here? Did you get a copy of the other things too when you came here? Of all of our other, the requirements of being a monk and the requirements of staying on campus and stuff? Okay. You see, who do I want to spend my time with? I want to spend my time with myself. Okay? So, when we go to visit a hotel and we stay in the hotel, we look at the back of the door of the hotel and it tells what the rules are for the hotel. No fires and things like that, you know. Okay, and it says check-in time and it says check-out time. And we learn that. And we don't think a thing about memorizing it. We just read it. Now, hey, what time is check-in time? 8. What time is check-out time? Noon. You know, oh, gee. You didn't even pay attention. You just read it and remembered it, huh? Hey, that's good, you know. That's good. Why did she remember it? Because she remembered that she was checking in at 8 and that she was checking out at 10. And she was checking out before she had to check out, so there's no problem. You see? And once you realize you do these things, you know, this, you don't worry about it. You don't think a thing about it. You don't think, whoops, I'm checking out at 2 o'clock. That means another day I got to pay for. Ooh, that's tough. That's tough. But you learn the rules because they're written right clear and sharp right there on the back of the door of the hotel room. And that's wonderful. Now, who do I want to spend my time with? With me. I want to spend my time with me. I want to like me. I want to enjoy me. I want to have a good time with me. Who do you want to spend your time with? Obviously, some of you want to spend your time with being angry at others. Some of you want to spend your time with being upset because you're not getting things the way you want it done. Some of you want to spend your time with the idea that, oh dear, you know, I have so much to do. Well, if you ever spend your time that way, if you ever spend your time that way at all, you are so foolish because you're the creator. Create yourself with lots of time. Create yourself with everything working smoothly. Create yourself with associates who are loving and gentle and delightful to be with. Create yourself with everything on, hey, and you say, well, but they. No. It's only you. It's only you. And you're the one who creates yourself having a wonderful time and being a wonderful person. Who do I want to spend my time with? My wife was not receiving her thought for today, and she was only reading the title. And then she sent me an email and said, Herb, tell me what that title means. And I should tell her what a 10 or 20 minute talk is in a couple of words. It just doesn't work that way. Well, we have arrived at that point again, so have a lovely day and do beautiful things and know that I love you very much. And remember, who do you want to spend your time with? Yourself, because you're the most wonderful being in the universe. I love you. I love you. I love you.